Recording.
There we go. Okay.
Just don't forget, we can always ask the NSA.
That's right.
Yeah,
there's always,
yeah.
They've got us backed up about
they
three times,
it.
So don't
yeah,
worry about
it.
All right.
Okay, let me see here. What is it going to be? Jumped out. Okay, would be the revised draft agenda, right? Oh, I wouldn't get it. Yeah, I would get a copy. Yeah, okay. Sorry about this.
Ken, the number one is just a Toronto hearings update, so we can just chat that while
yeah,
you're
yeah,
getting.
Yeah, well, why don't you go ahead, please.
Has any information. Hello?
Hello, is Ken still there?
It sounds like he dropped, huh?
The line did go awfully quiet.
Hmm. Well,
okay.
Got a quick roll call here.
Okay. Sutton here.
Okay.
Gordon?
Yep.
Okay, this is Ken back. Now, where did you say it had been added, Craig?
In the section towards the bottom that where Robin Horton asked for the three items to be brought up again from
yeah.
last month, we
right.
added in the 9/11 Citizens Commission as another point that somebody might want to address.
Somebody might or might not want to address. Okay. All right. So.
Well, I mean.
Yeah,
I someone has something to say on it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So we get the roll call done and the approval done, and so we're all set on the agenda. We're ready to roll.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much, Craig. Toronto hearings update. Who wants to do that? That's requested by Robin and Ned.
Does anybody have any information about where it's going on? I mean, I'm working with. This is Robin Horton. I'm working with Honegger. On you know some of her reports and so it's not all ready for distribution. Does anybody have any feedback?
I haven't heard. No,
I haven't heard a thing. Every time I go to the site, it's the same thing.
Well, for the first time in the last year, we've just saved 9 minutes on the agenda.
Yeah. Well, what we could do here is a similar thing that we did before is we could officially request of them, you know, a response as to when they expect to have. What are we interested in the edited video? Is that what we're talking about here or something else?
Gordon here. I'm interested in anything. I will give you the background of my concern. Back in 2010, I went to New York City. And there was a wonderful conference that was one way or another shifted into some type of a group called INN. I think it was Independent Network News, which is this dusky, dark, unknown, whatever, tremendous conference. And the whole deal was that it was going to be videotaped by this conference and the INN guys, and it was. It was awesome. And then they said, well, we're going to control the distribution. That was the trade-off between Rutkowski and We Are Change in New York to buy into this. And in my view, watching it and being there 100% of the time, it was awesome. And now it's invisible. So what I'm concerned about is the Toronto hearings collecting all this awesome testimony, okay? Well, you know, everybody's going to have their opinion, but the bottom line is it's pretty good stuff, and then it being buried the same way, obviously, in my view, the 2010 New York anniversary entire thing was just about buried. Just buried.
Ned Ulaney here. Question. With regard to the Toronto hearings, do we know that this is going to be actually published in print form as a backup?
Oh, that's a good question. Does anybody know the answer to that?
Can I try that? That's Craig and Key. There's going to be a final report written. So it's not merely a backup. In fact, I think the thing that we most have to anticipate is not the videotape of it, because actually that was posted right on the website, like right away. You could see much of it. I don't know if it's still up there or not, but I think it is still up. Yeah.
Yes.
What's much more interesting is the report that they're going to come up with, because it's the three. I don't know what they call them, adjudicators, or the three inquisitors, whatever. They were the ones who asked, questions of the witnesses, and they're the ones that are going to come up with a final report, or they're going to contribute to a final report. So I think that's really what I'm looking forward to,
right,
is to find out what they come up with. Because they're supposed to evaluate what the witnesses had to say.
Let's try this. Would somebody like to make a motion that our secretary, on our behalf, write to someone there at the Toronto hearings, request to know whether the final report of the magistrates and the edited version of the video are going to be available anytime soon, what their ETA is on those documents?
Sure, I'll make that request.
Okay. Anybody oppose the motion? Okay, thank you. Anybody oppose it?
A friendly amendment?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Robin. I suggest we make this request monthly, matching our monthly teleconference, so let the people in Toronto know that there is at least one group of people who are looking forward to and anticipating their work. So exactly what you said, write them, ask, but let's do it monthly.
Well, if they give us an ETA on these documents and they say, well, this is going to be ready in April, this is going to be ready in March, we wouldn't pay to wait to send them another request until March or April, would it?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I don't think I'd want to ask our secretary to have to do that, because it's kind of redundant. I mean, if they don't respond, I would certainly understand your point. But if they do respond and they give us estimated dates of arrival for these things, I think we have to take them at their word.
Fair point.
Okay.
Maybe we could just try it the first time and see what answer we get back, and then sort of revisit it in a month.
Yeah. Why don't we follow the amendment to this point that we will write them on a monthly basis until we get a response for an ETA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would that work?
Sure.
Okay. With Robin.
Okay. Does that work for you, Craig?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Is there any sort of official contact person that the teleconference has used before? I mean, I have contact for Ray and McQueen.
We had Lori on our call one time, okay?
Mm.
So she would probably be the best one. And I think Anna, do you still have her email address?
I do, and we actually sent that request, the request that we did earlier on regarding, I don't remember exactly what the request was, but we had three people we sent that to, so I'll send that to Craig.
The emails
have to do with the Toronto hearing that I've got.
Great.
Yeah, Lori Manuel is the same person who didn't answer my emails in the summertime for 3 months, so I'm not totally impressed with her.
Yeah, we'll want to make sure we add all the other folk that we have.
This is Robin. I have a relationship with Graham McQueen. I suggest that he be sent to directly, and you can certainly use my name.
I think that's a great idea. He's
that's
excellent. Yeah, he's good.
So will you forward his email address to Craig then?
I actually have that already, Ken.
Oh, you actually have that. Okay.
I have Graham, right.
Great. Okay. So are we done with this issue then? Are we ready to move on? Okay. Next on the agenda is False Flag Terrorism Act. Dave, are you on the call?
Yeah, I'm on.
Good. Okay, well, this was your issue, so you want to motivate it here and let us know what you'd like to discuss here?
Yes.
please. The version you guys see, that's actually Honegger's version. She took it a little further than the one that I wrote. Hers is a lot more clear, and frankly, I've sent it to who I'd really like to write it is John Dean, and I've sent it to him. I just haven't had a response. I've also sent it to Boo Griosi, because those guys write statutes for a living. So, you know, this would be a whole area of jurisprudence that's way overdue. We all know about Operation Northwoods. And I want you to think of it in terms of really our old antitrust laws. I mean, just, you know, we suddenly realized around 1900, hey, maybe it's time to say that it's illegal for, you know, one or two companies to own an entire industry. The days of somebody owning 20 railroads is over. You know, we need competition. I see this as a whole new area of jurisprudence, and it really needs to start now. It's the best defense I've used in debating the people who say we wear tinfoil hats and deny everything. I'm sick of them. So you really have to boil it down to, do you or don't you approve of a false flag terrorism act? And they tend to come back of some, they try, the most logical of them try to come back with, we have enough federal laws and statutes, and then, you know, of course, I practice in railroad law, so I said, look, buddy, you know, it's just the way it is. You know, that U.S. code is that way. You know, whether it's banking or railroads or unions, you know, or EPA, those of us who know that, I don't need some punk to tell me we don't need another goddamn federal law. You know, it's what I
David, why don't you just summarize very quickly what the act is.
I'm trying to write as many congressmen and as many people as I can. I'd like it to be a movement because, really, all roads do lead to, you can talk about 9/11 till you're blue in the face. In fact, I don't even think the President of the United States is legally allowed to get on the TV and say 9/11 was an inside job. I think he would be violating Title 50. In fact, I guarantee you he would. But to take it further than that, given the fact we've had Operation Northwoods, false flag attacks, guys, are legal. Deal with it. A false flag attack is legal. Whatever you want to claim about 9/11, guess what? Even if it's proven that the Fed did it, it's legal. False flag attacks are legal. And you have to come straight with that and realize Operation Northwood set that precedent. So you can talk about 9/11 in the face.
But what this is about is having people write in favor of this bill, right, or in favor of this act or whatever it is?
This idea. I'd like to call it an idea because I'm even open to a change in name. I'm a stutterer. It's hard for me to say false flag terrorism prohibition. I mean, it's so many damn words.
Well,
it's a long thing, you know, and it sounds like shit. But if somebody can come up with a better tone, make it communicate. But it's an idea, like as I was saying, like antitrust. It's something that's going to, it's not going to be immediate. But once it takes hold, we're going to have a better country. Because you just can't have that shit going on where they stage these false attacks and people get killed and they break our treasuries and wars. I mean, how simple of an equation. You have to boil it down to that denominator.
So what you would like from, is there something in particular you want the teleconference to do in particular, or you just want to make sure that people are aware of it?
I think for the next month, I think we should all, in our own way, experiment with it, debate with it, mouth off about it, write your congressman about it, blog about it, and spread the idea. I don't know what else to do. I'm trying to write the players. Asner movie blows my mind. I love Ed Asner. I've watched him on YouTube. He makes my hair stand on end. We need him, and we need his movie, and we need the people that are with him.
That's coming up later. We've got that on the agenda to talk about. So with respect to this issue, maybe we should give other folks a chance to chime in.
Yeah.
Does anybody else want to comment on this?
I would like to make one comment, and that is, isn't the law already set up where treason is recognized as as illegal?
No. Craig, can you clarify this question? You've heard me answer this 100 different ways. Why don't you answer?
Well, I think if I recall what you said to me on the phone was that there was a precedent set by the way Operation Northwoods was handled in 1962. The fact that the Joint Chiefs of Staff proposed terrorist acts inside the U.S. You know, the false, you know, bombing of the Guantanamo base in Cuba, and sinking of ships that were, you know, made to look like the Cubans had done it when it wasn't the Cubans. That this was a plan proposed to Kennedy by the Joint Chiefs of Staff and also agreed to by the Secretary of Defense, and he vetoed it. He said, "No, they're not going to do that," and didn't become public for, you know, many years after that. But nobody was obligated to, correct me if I'm wrong, but nobody was obligated to report that to the authorities. Like Kennedy was not,
Let me take over. The fact that JFK didn't immediately appoint a special prosecutor to rule out the extent of treason set a precedent, ladies and gentlemen, and you have to understand how important the executive precedent is in those sort of situations. We've been doing that since George Washington. These sort of things set precedent. And when JFK decided not to move forward and get a special prosecutor and hand over McNamara and the designers and planners of Northwoods, they had that rehearsed. It was ready to go down that day if Kennedy had said thumbs up. That's something that's practiced a lot. They had that down pat. They were going to hijack airliners. They had it all set. They were going to crash the airliners into civilian buildings and military bases, and they wanted us to go to war with freaking Cuba. That's a fact. I'm not making this shit up. Okay? And legal precedent. And I would argue that in Congress, and any lawyer would. A bar member, I'm ready to write. I'm crafting stuff now to write in my own Florida bar stuff because this has to be dealt with now. If people don't see it, I have argued with 9/11 truth now since 2005, and I am so sick of being told that I have a tinfoil hat. Enough. It's time to make this shit illegal.
Robin on the spec.
Robin, go ahead.
To this discussion, most of us understand about Operation Northwoods and deny any of it and recognize the correlationship between that, or interrelationship between that and 9/11. It's really abundantly clear. The only two points that I would like to make or open for discussion is, number one, whenever you bring any proposed legislation to legislators, okay, that we're dealing with right now, you're asking them to indict themselves. They're all criminal. They all know what's going on. They absolutely know that we, okay, they're going to block that.
It's one of those guys. They're not criminals. I went to law school with some of those guys. Some of them are okay. But if you're asking them, they would risk their political futures. I understand that. However,
Excuse me.
Sorry.
Allow me to finish, please.
Yeah, Robin has the floor.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
All right. So now we got it. So second point that I've got to say, and it's a point that I'm going to continue as a continuum with my engagement with this teleconference and the 9/11 truth movement, is a parallel activity. And the parallel activity that I suggest that we also work with, not to diminish what you're asking for, because I think anybody who wants to take direct action at these guys can do that. But my parallel activity all the way along is that the single most important thing that the 9/11 truth-seeking community can bring to the peace community is an understanding of what a false flag attack is. And my point being that ultimately our job, I believe, is going to be most efficient and effective by reaching out to and informing the public in Canada, certainly Canada, United States, other places, to reach the understanding that the Germans have, which is like 90% recognize it was a pulled off job to get into war. There are two major elements dealing with. One is jump into the legal schmeagle. The other is, which is what I slightly prefer, which is just keep up informing the public a false flag attack is. Understand here, David. I'm on it. I got it. But I also work in the streets between 1 and 5 days a week, and I understand that people are not at this moment anyway quite ready, that their only option at the moment to do something legislatively or legally. But we should not drop those. Over.
Okay. Who else would like to speak to this issue? Well, if somebody else wants to speak to it, then I guess, shall we move on?
I'd love to. Look at all the help we can get. Actually, I think what's critical is I'd love to see it. As we move on, we can talk about it in the Ed Asner movie. He's a real powerful guy.
Okay. All right, well, that's where we're going next. A Violation of Trust is the new name that they've given to the movie. The original name that they had for it, which I kind of like better, was The Confessions of a 9/11 Conspirator. But in any case, I think I gave you all a reference to, we've got it on the 9/11 TC website, but it's also on a 9/11 Truth website. Everybody's trying to promote it because it's going to be a big deal. So who would like to, let's see, Dan Sutton, are you here on the call?
Yes.
Okay, well,
I would like to,
go ahead and move it.
I'm quite excited about the film. I don't know anything about it except what you guys have read about it. I don't have any sort of vested interest in it or... but the hopes that, from my experience of researching things like this, false flag operations, I'd like to talk about that again in context of this film. It ties in, and political assassinations of the 60s, which I have researched for many, many years, decades, and false flag attacks, and how when I saw the JFK film come out in the early 90s by Oliver Stone, that made such an impact on the general public. We, all of us on this call here, have worked hard, and we've promoted this cause, and we've brought people in. We've spent money and time and effort, and we've brought in Richard Gage and David Ray Griffin, whoever else. And like you said, you got Robin that got done talking until I'm blue in the face. Is that Robin?
Right.
Yeah, until we're blue in the face. But people don't understand. But you put something on the movies, in the movie theater, or on television, if you had the person who won American Idol, the next big, you know, bimbo, and she said, you know, I think, look at my cleavage, it says, I think 9/11 was an inside job. Now you've got someone's attention. You put this on the movie screen, and you've got people's attention, and that's what it might take. But I saw so much, you know what happened after Oliver Stone released his film? It led to the JFK Record Collection Act. People were amazed after 30 years that records were being kept secret and that files on the JFK case were still secretive, and it actually led to an act of Congress, you know, the Assassination Record Review Board. Now, false flag attacks, it's interesting you bring that up. Just this weekend, a new story in the news is JFK tapes, after all these years, his last conversations he had in the White House are being released. And here's a perfect example. He sent two men over to Vietnam to assess the situation, one a military advisor and one a diplomat. And they came back with two completely different reports on what's going on in Vietnam. And he asked them, did you guys go to the same country? You know, the false flag attacks, I mean, forget about it. This is what we need to tell people. False flag attacks happen. Now it's a matter of history now that the Gulf of Tonkin was a false flag operation. When Abraham Lincoln was informed that troops were being killed, you know, in the Mexican War, he said, well, exactly which side of the border were these men killed, you know, on upon? Well, whose side of the border? False flag attacks are real, and the average person doesn't know anything about a false flag attack. They have no idea. And this is why we talked about before trying to get Congress to do this. No, it's a waste of time. Congress will not indict themselves. Mike Gravel's ballot initiative, as far as I can tell, Gravel's ballot initiative and this new movie are the best things we have going for us. And so what I think is we should not worry about any of the things that we disagree on. We disagree on, you know, thermite, weapons from outer space or controlled demolition or, you know, all the things. What hit the Pentagon? What didn't hit the Pentagon? Don't worry about that. Don't think about that stuff. All of us need to focus on what we do agree on. We do agree that the official story is bullshit, and we need a new investigation, and that 70% of the family members' questions were not answered, and you know, the official story is a lie, and we need a real investigation. We know the official story is wrong, and we want the truth, and the truth is on our side. And we know that the government's lying and covering. Why would they cover up? Why would the government cover up if Al-Qaeda did it, you know?
Let's get somebody else a chance to talk. Okay, thank you. Who else would like to speak to the question about the film?
Yeah, this is Duane.
Duane, go ahead.
I've kind of got an inside vantage point on the film. I am an investor in it and hope to get some revenue coming back of some sort. So I have some information as on a regular basis. The thing is, Howard has been really pushing it and working many, many hours on it. The director, Matthew, is just kind of getting on board, and I think they're either meeting this week or next week. But I am looking to the time when the two of them kind of get on the same page, and part of that is how to promote it and when to promote it. And I don't know what they're wanting to do on that. It could be that I saw one little hint that maybe Matthew would like to follow the mold of Moore.
Michael Moore?
Michael Moore.
Yeah. Michael Moore doesn't
Robin on the
he
stack.
Doesn't promote it until it actually is ready to be out there. So that is a possibility on this as well, so that things don't leak until they're ready to leak. So I don't think we should make a big promotion out of it until we know that that's what they want to do.
I agree with
Over.
That.
Okay. All
Robin
right, thank you.
Everybody
Robin,
wants
Robin,
on the
Robin
stack.
Is back.
Craig on
Robin.
The stack.
I'm sorry, who? Who besides Robin?
Craig.
Who?
Craig,
okay. Craig
McKee.
Craig, gotcha. Okay, so you're after Robin. Go ahead, Robin.
Duane, directly towards you, from my vantage point, one of the most powerful forces, if not the most powerful force, that wants to undermine the entire 9/11 truth-seeking community is Israel, because they want to protect or defend or somehow bury whatever role Israel may or may not have had. And I'm not arguing the point because I don't care, okay? Whatever. My concern is that in my lifetime, starting with Walt Disney, I have seen the Muslim world being demonized, okay, and so many players in Hollywood playing the role of, discreetly, without saying it directly, supporting Israel in general. Yet, as it turns out, the 9/11 truth community, as we all know, point blank, has extraordinary concerns about Israel's role in 9/11. So when I take a look at what I know about the product coming out of Hollywood melding with the media that comes out of Manhattan. I'm deep, and also, by the way, having met Ed Asner personally and acknowledging that I am glad that he's on our side, but will report to you that he is a function of Hollywood. My concern would be regarding this movie to ask the question whether it is treating the relationship, treating the events of 9/11 and its relationship with the Muslim world and Israel fairly. That is my concern. Over.
Okay. Thank you.
This is James Hufford, and I've been privileged to read the script of
James, hold it, James. We have a speaking stack, okay?
Okay, sure.
Craig is next. I'm after Craig, and then you're after me, okay? Go ahead, Craig.
Okay, fine. That's great.
Maybe I'll change what I'm about to say based on what James says. I'm not sure, but
Would you like to yield to James, and then you can go ahead?
Yeah, why not? Why not, yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, James.
Well, I was just going to say that I've been privileged, I don't know why, but I've been privileged to read the script of that film. And it's all set. The whole thing is set in sort of a courtroom or hearing atmosphere on the first day of a presidential inquiry into what happened on 9/11. I mean, you know, imaginative and so on, and it goes through mainly just questions and points made by David Ray Griffin in his most recent books, the conclusions that he's come to, and that's just about the long and the short of it. And it certainly doesn't, I don't think it mentions Israelis. Maybe it should, I don't know, but I don't recall any mention, just as I don't think you'll find any mention of Israelis in David Ray Griffin's writings. When he was here in Iowa in April of 2010, I asked him what he thought, if he thought the Israelis were involved, and he said that he said while there is evidence of their foreknowledge with the dancing Israelis and so on, that to him didn't add up to actual complicity, and he said he's still looking into it, but at that time anyway, and I haven't seen anything that would contradict his conclusion of that time, that it's still an open question and one that he really hasn't dealt with.
Okay. Thank you. Craig?
Robin, at the end of...
Okay, Robin, you're after me then. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to picture exactly how that would work, like the first day of an inquiry. I don't know if this is supposed to be another inquiry or if it's supposed to be the 9/11 Commission, sort of looking back at that. I'm not sure.
Well, it's supposed to be a real inquest into what really happened, whereas the original one didn't really deal with that question.
But it doesn't really get into how they managed to pull off this new investigation?
No, it just imagines that a president has called for this inquiry and bringing forth all relevant witnesses.
Right. I mean, that makes me a little nervous even to start with, frankly, because it's sort of based on the premise that the president's going to grant another inquiry, which... you know, there's something about that bothers me because I think that's never going to happen, and it almost kind of gives the idea that it might happen some credence.
Craig?
Well, you can write to the director of the film, Howard Cohen, and voice that. I mean, he's quite open, and he'll definitely answer your question or your criticism.
Okay. Well, that's actually a good idea. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, if you're concerned.
So
about
I guess my concern. I mean, I don't really know what Mr. Cohen's track record is in terms of writing film scripts, and I'm hoping that he's you know, an accomplished script writer, and that it's not, because you know, we would obviously hope this isn't going to be very effective if it's not, you know, very high quality. You know, if it's kind of, you know,
well, I think
it's not very good. It's not going to. Sorry.
I think it's a good script as far as it goes. I mean, I suggested one change in the script, and he said that he would put it in. But as far as it goes, I mean, one little film can't do everything. But
right.
I think it's going to be a plus for us.
Okay, let's let Craig finish his remarks. There are others waiting to speak. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the Oliver Stone references, you know, because JFK, yeah, was so controversial. And then he came up with World Trade Center, which is, I think, a horrible whitewash of a film. You know, films can actually do more, you know, if they're bad films, they can do more damage than anything. I'm not saying this is going to be a bad film at all, but I'm just saying that I'm a little bit nervous about sort of giving it a ringing endorsement when I don't know what it is I'm endorsing, you know. I'm concerned. I don't want to see the same sort of tendency towards kind of like, you know, a wishy-washy approach to the evidence just so that we don't offend certain people. So we're going to, you know, I don't want to see the sort of the Toronto hearings approach employed in a feature film, ideally. That would be my wish. So I'm hoping that the director is not sort of, you know, I'm hoping that they're taking it seriously and that they're you know, they're not shying away from, you know, some of the tougher points, you know. I mean,
well, I don't know if this will give you any confidence. James,
let's let others speak, okay? I'll go ahead and take my turn, and then I believe who is behind me? That Robin is behind me that would like to speak also. First of all,
put Dwayne on the stack too.
Sure, Dwayne, you're behind Robin then. Actually, before Robin, because Robin, you've already spoken, haven't you?
Yeah.
Dwayne's already spoken to you? Okay. Then it's me, Dwayne, and me, Robin, then Dwayne. First of all, I'd like to suggest that, as James just said, we can't expect one movie to do everything, and we really need to distinguish between 9/11 truth and what can be presented in a movie form as I won't say entertainment, but fictional. Okay, as a piece of attractive fiction. Okay, that hopefully will accomplish the one purpose that we can hope for from this film, which is to put the 9/11 truth movement on the map in general consciousness, where it still has not really registered.
Fucking A.
Yeah. Well, in any case, what I mean by that is that it becomes more acceptable to people to consider the 9/11 truth position than it currently
Bingo.
Is. Okay? That's what I think we can hope for from this film, and from what I understand, that's what this film hopes to accomplish. That's why the actors whatever for 9/11 truth are supporting the film, because this is what they see as the vehicle for getting this thing more public. So I think, you know, just like Oliver Stone didn't pinpoint who was actually responsible for JFK's murder, he just demonstrated that there were some individuals who had more to tell than they told, okay, basically. Basically, he just proved the government's story with that film. He cast cogent doubt on the official narrative, okay? And that's what hopefully this film will do for 9/11. It'll cast official doubt on the official 9/11 now. The other thing I wanted to mention in passing is somebody said about somebody, I think it was, I don't remember who it was talking about false flags. And mentioned as an example of false flags, the Tonkin Gulf incident. Okay, the Tonkin Gulf incident was not a false flag operation; it was a fabricated report. But be very careful when you use the word false flag, that you use it in the proper context. A false flag operation is when one country stages an attack but implicates another country as being responsible for it, okay? When they actually do an attack. They actually attack somebody or something and then say that another country made that attack. That's a false flag operation, a false flag attack, okay?
Northwood. What? Northwood.
Yeah. Northwood would have been a false flag attack if it had been carried out. That's my point, and so next is Robin. Go ahead, Robin.
Okay, thank you. To address what you just said, Ken, I'm going to suggest that you distinguish between a false flag attack and a false flag operation. There has been some migration into understanding that a false flag attack is exactly what you said, but there are also false flag operations which end up having the same net effect to the population in aggregating them into a response that they never would have naturally or normally taken at that time. So I don't see a real difference between the two. That's one of the points. Now,
thank you.
We're talking about films here, films, and I'm going to start out with the big one. The film United 93 was the second largest disinformation project that was ever perpetrated on the United States citizenry. The first one was the WTC corporate media promoted attacks itself. So films are extraordinarily powerful. Craig, I feel that you are right on target. Beware of film messaging. Okay? Regarding the Oliver Stone film, World Trade Center, or whatever it might be, he has been restricted so badly since JFK that he has been fundamentally, from what I observe anyways, this is my opinion, he has been throttled, okay, and I appreciate the fact that he allowed three things to come out in his WTC film that somehow we figured a way to slip through. They are, okay, number one, a film clip of WTC-7 going down. Number two, a clear evidence scene or two about molten metal, okay? And number three, early explosions, okay? Now, you may be critical of Stone doing that, but that dude was told. He was given the message after JFK, okay? You're in this game or you're out of this game. Okay, now, to finish up my concern about this particular film, and to tie in my personal relationship with David Ray Griffin, whom I admire directly, I will give you a conversation that was open public and he would not, I feel, be unwilling for me to share. I have consulted on several of his books, and I have addressed him directly that the one thing that I see as being unbelievably missing in all of his books, I mean, it is so apparent that he steers away with the potential role of Israel in 9/11, okay, with the 9/11 attacks, which has been supported on this phone call. It's an amazing gap. And I've told him that I don't accept that in his work, that it diminishes his work and himself. And he had this answer. You want to deal with this the way that you want to deal with this, okay? Doesn't matter to me. I know where I am. Simple statement. I wanted to get published. Gordon out.
Okay, Gordon, thank you. And who was the last one on the stack?
Dwayne.
Dwayne, and then I'd like to make a last comment. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Okay, just listening to some of the comments, particularly Craig, who hasn't actually read the script. So the way it's presented in the script and I would say this is not the final script, so it may change. This is a hearing called by the president to see if it's kind of like a grand jury. It's a hearing to see if there's enough of a case such that there should be a new investigation. And the president basically is saying enough, it actually is a woman president, enough concerns have been brought to her that she thinks there may be something there that merits a new investigation. And she is granted something that is called, I'm not sure exactly what it's called, but it's basically giving immunity to people that come forward to testify. So these would be lower level people. So they'll be free of being prosecuted later on. And so it does bring some people out of basically the government to put some candid testimony forth. But one of the, let's say the victim in the film, or not the bad guy in the film, is Philip Zelikow. And Philip Zelikow basically doesn't show for the hearing, so it's like an empty chair. So quite a bit of it is the fact that Zelikow was had all these ties to the Bush administration, and that he put together the outline for what the 9/11 Commission report would be and kept it secret from the staff member of the panel, things like that. So that ends up being kind of a sub-story that goes throughout the movie that he basically never even shows for it. And there's things that make the Bush family look guilty. Topics that would be of interest to the public, like no one has ever questioned the security contractor who just happens to have Wirt Walker and Marvin Bush running, things like that, just tidbits of information. So I think it, one big thing is there's a limit on time, so it doesn't cover everything. In fact, the latest script that I read has very little on Building 7. It's like a detail that maybe the public would have trouble getting into it all that much. It's in a big picture view, like two planes and three buildings came down, but details about free fall and things like that, they don't get into that kind of a detail of free fall. So that's kind of where it stands. Now, the director's concern at this point is that it's too one-sided. It says it comes across as being a propaganda piece for the 9/11 mm-hmm. Truth Movement. So he's looking for a way to get some more, maybe some of the people that are on the official story side have a, you could empathize with them a little bit. That's kind of what he's looking for. They're not necessarily the orchestrators of the whole thing, but maybe they've had a difficult time living with where they've had to be on the whole thing. So that's kind of what's going on right now. Over.
Interesting. Can I get in one more time, Ken, after you, is that possible?
And then Robin on the back.
I'm going to keep mine quick, and I'll ask you to do the same, okay?
Sure.
Robin, if we put you on the stack, too, let's see. We're reaching the end of our time on this question so that we have our other agenda items to kick up. I'll ask that each of us from here on through, restrict yourself to 1 minute, if that's no objection to that, okay? 1 minute or less. False flag operations are covert operations designed to deceive the public in such a way that the operations appear as though they were being carried out by other entities. Okay? So it is an actual attack or event that is made to appear as though it were being done by somebody else. That's why it's false flag. That's all that false flag ever means. Okay? All right. Go ahead, Dwayne.
And it's legal.
And people have to understand, it's not just real. We all know it's real. It's legal.
Dwayne, I think you were the next one I wanted to speak, or was it Craig?
No, I already had my thing, so.
Yeah.
Okay, Craig, I think.
I just quickly, I'll say that the definition you just read, I'm not sure would rule out the Gulf of Tonkin incident, but I don't want to use up my time on that. Just what I was hearing about the script, it still leaves me concerned about a few things. I mean, I don't personally want to empathize with people who are touting the official story, and I'm worried that that kind of dramatic device is going to end up kind of, you know, I don't know, kind of blunting the whole message, and I can't imagine that they couldn't, they've got to get Building 7 in there. I can't imagine that they wouldn't find a way to do that. I'd like to know, maybe I can talk to contact Dwayne or something separately, but I'd like to know sort of how I could sort of approach Mr. Cohen. But I want a quick point about JFK. It was very controversial, but it was very influential as well. And one thing that Stone did not do in that movie is he did not pull punches. He did not hold back just to avoid anything controversial. He was extremely controversial, and I think it was very effective. So I'm worried if we go, if this film goes too much the other way, it might end up leaving people thinking. I mean, just the idea that the president is wondering whether there's some, you know, questions that are unanswered. Well, the president is fully aware. Any president that comes along later is fully aware that this was a false flag. So they're not going to be wondering whether the truth has really been told. They know full well that it hasn't been told. So anyway, I'll drop it on that point.
How about your last? Robin? Robin, are you here?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, well, you asked to speak again, didn't you?
Do I? Yes, I do.
Okay, you
Dwayne, thank you for the answer, and I think that you pretty much directly or indirectly or deliberately or indeliberately made the point that my concern and my conclusion is that it is a gatekeeper movie, and you absolutely nailed the dive, the fact that the WTC7 story is not being told. Of all the stories and information that we have in the 9/11 truth-seeking community, WTC7 remains one of the strongest. You need no more information, none, than what Dwayne just said, which is that the WTC7 story underplayed. Coming out of a gatekeeping community, serving another gatekeeping community on Manhattan. The way that I suggest that we deal with this is just simply be as critical of this movie as we are of any other bit of information that comes our way. Just go to the truth. Thank you.
Well, to that end, do you think it would make sense that we contact Howard officially and ask him, based on the fact that we're, you know, who we are and what we, you know, who we represent, if he would care to share his script with us for the opportunity for those of us who wish to give him feedback on the script.
Hmm.
What do people think about that idea?
Great idea. Okay.
How do you think that would go over, Dwayne?
This is Dwayne again.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of it a little bit, although I think he's in a huge bind right now.
Okay.
And this would make an additional... I mean, they're scheduled to do the filming in February.
I know.
I mean, I noted that there was hardly anything on Building 7, but on the other hand, I didn't know what things I would recommend they take out, because I think if you want to add things, you've got to take things out. Basically, it's kind of targeted for the time of whatever it is, hour and 40 or something like that. So that's a bind of someone who's putting together a dramatic production movie and how you balance all those things. And then the other thing is we've got a director who is wanting to torque it probably pretty strongly. So I don't know how that's all going to come out.
All right, so you would advise against our doing this, huh? Do you think it would just burden them unnecessarily and not be very productive in the end? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's my view, yeah.
Okay. Well, then, unless somebody has a strong objection, let's just move on to the next item here on our agenda.
I would just quickly say, it's Craig, I would just quickly say that I'm not sure I'd want to rule it out on that basis, just because he would be the one that would tell us if it was too onerous on him. You know, it wouldn't necessarily be up to us to sort of decide in advance that it would be too much of a bother. Just, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with asking, but that's you know.
And Robin,
anyway,
Robin, are you speaking to this proposal?
I am.
Go ahead.
I support the proposal. And I'm going to say the point that truth has no time bind. And the whole process that's what's going on is to conform their story. And their story that I will guarantee you, the story that's going to come out in this movie is short of the truth. It's going to be shaped the way they want to say and what they want to say. I completely disagree with having a sensitivity and a concern about the movie director, the editors, whoever, the writers, whatever, having a times constraint, and we have to exclude certain amount of information because we're in a time bind. No, we're not.
Well, yeah, this is Dwayne again. I don't know what all the binds are. I do know that all of the funding has been raised, and some of the funding are distribution contracts, international distribution contracts. I would think there's some time marks in those contracts. I don't know what they are, but I just I think those are things. The other thing I'll throw in is that Howard spent a lot of time getting input. He came down to San Diego. He was living in L.A. He'd come down to San Diego probably a half dozen times to meet with the San Diego 9/11 Truth Bunch just to get input. So he's put an awful lot of effort to get input, and that wasn't the only one. I know he's gotten in from a lot of other people. But all the other constraints, it's a huge set of constraints that all come together. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Do you think it would be possible for you to ask him for permission to share the script with us?
Oh, I think. I'll be glad to. No problem.
Why don't you do that way? I think if we do it informally, we have a better chance anyway. And he'll either say yes or no. And if he says yes, then, you know, we can do it that way. And if he says no, then, you know, he'll say no anyway, right?
And
well,
Robin,
if he says no, I'm sure he'll give us some reasons to go with the no statement and share those reasons with you.
But I would think coming from you would probably have a better shot anyway, since you're an investor in the film. So that would be very helpful. Thank you. Okay.
Robin with my final.
Robin, go ahead.
United 93, the movie, eliminated the flight of United 93 from fair discussion in the entire 9/11 truth community. This movie comes out and does not talk about WTC7, it buries it. I'm going to say this again, that it does not have WTC7 and treat it respectfully as it deserves. It can be only considered a propaganda piece. I don't care about Hollywood's time issues. It doesn't matter. Thank you.
Okay. Our next agenda item is keeping open the idea of an annual Flight 77/Pentagon Research Convention in D.C. Robin, it's yours. You want to speak about it for a minute, and then we'll open it up for discussion?
Yeah, very briefly, my concept on the events around the Pentagon and American 77, Cheney and the PEOC, and all of that stuff, and the flight data recorder, and all of the controversy involved, there's such a wide variety of interpretations of the evidence and such a paucity of the evidence coming forth that has all been given to us by the federal government other than the eyewitnesses. I believe positions the American 77 slant Pentagon story to qualify as a really long-term, ongoing debate, dialogue, discussion, very much like COPA, which is the Committee on Political Assassinations, which simply gets together and brings forward all the information. I really feel that American 77, Pentagon, is a discussion that we can healthily have for 10, 20, 30 years unless stuff comes out, okay, and it will be to our benefit. This is a really great opportunity, great idea, and in addition to the annual event in New York City on every 9/11, I really feel that we should consider and just think about combining our energies and resources to say, this is a good way to keep this discussion alive, because the fact of the matter is we pretty much caught them everywhere else, and we're pretty close to catching them on American 77 and the Pentagon. So let's annoy them. Over.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak to that? Anna, do you know anything more about that, or is there anything more going on with that you know?
Well, I mean, there's still talk to do it. I think it'd be very easy to do. We came close to doing it this year, this past year, but Barbara Honegger, I thought her presentation should be shared, and she couldn't make that weekend that we were trying to do the 11/11/11 thing. So I know that there's interest. I think we were planning a bigger event, a Toronto hearing type of a thing. And I think, you know, wouldn't even need really much planning just to have a one day, have a few Barbara Honegger and whoever else here on the call would suggest, you know, a one day event. That'd be very easy to put together. Are you thinking of something? And then from there, see if we get the interest in any kind of financial support. And then from there, kind of create a bigger scope of a thing. My vision or my dream is to have a full-fledged Pentagon investigation by the Virginia State Legislature, because it's on Virginia territory. And there's not only 9/11, there's child pornography, there's the $10 trillion missing, and it is a cesspool of wrongdoing, and someone needs, and if out of all the states, it's got to be really Virginia, and I think that's the federal government I don't think we can count on the federal government to investigate itself or the military.
But as far as you know, nobody right now is making any plans to do anything along these lines, right?
No, but I would definitely, you know, Barbara and I speak, and I think that we would we could put together a DC something with, you know, George Ripley. You know, I think that would be something definitely a forerunner of something even bigger. So, but yeah, no plans right now. We were talking about doing something in March. I haven't heard anything. I can start bringing up the conversation again. For me, I'm focused on the state government here right now, and probably will be until March. So, but yeah, let's kick it around and see if we can get some interest. But I think I definitely by 10th or the 11th anniversary, I think it should be a focus. I agree with Robin.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak to this issue? All right. Well, then I guess we're ready for announcements. Does anybody have any?
Well, I'd like to announce, and it's not directly involved with 9/11, but it is in a way, that Bob Marshall is introducing a bill in the state legislature about the ND, the National Defense Authorization Act, asking the state legislature to draw the line onto federal encroachment on personal liberties of Virginians, and if other states were to follow suit, I think it's an important initiative. So I'll just throw that in. That's on top of my mind.
This is Dwayne.
Dwayne.
I don't know whether others got emails from Bill Veal, who is April Gallup's attorney, but he sent out an email this past week with about five files on it. Three of the files were different cover letters, basically, depending on whether it was going to a supporter of April Gallup or an antagonist or someone on the sidelines that didn't know much one way or the other. And they're very kind of well written for each of these categories of onlookers. And then he gave the final documents that went to court. But basically it was announcing that April Gallup's suit against Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Myers is completely over, that it ended with sanctions. I don't know if sanctions is the right word. Anyway, the court penalized them for at a tune of $15,000 for having a frivolous case and basically wasting the court's time. And this is the second circuit of federal court of appeal. So that whole thing is over now.
Wow.
Very sad.
Yeah, but thanks for bringing it to our attention. That's an important piece of news. Anybody else have an announcement?
Yeah, Ben Collett here, 9/11 Truth, Seattle. There's going to be a 9/11 hearings this summer, June 15th, 17th, in Vancouver, B.C., at the Denman Theater. And it's 5 months off, but I just thought I would throw that in so people can know about it ahead of time. And there are going to be a lot of speakers there, including Dwayne Dietz, Morgan Reynolds, Perry Zwicker, Webster Tarpley, Elias Dennison. And it's going to be sort of a complementary to the Toronto hearings and try to do some of the things that those hearings fail to do.
Ooh.
So that's all I got on that one.
Who's sponsoring it?
Jim Fetzer is the primary organizer.
Okay.
June 15th to 17th.
Thank you. Okay.
What's the date again?
June 15th through 17th, weekend. Vancouver, BC.
Okay. Thanks for that. Any other announcements? Okay, then I guess we're ready for a little open discussion. Let's see, it's 8:25 already. We got time for a few minutes of discussion, I guess. Robin, you had some items that you were encouraging people to revisit this time, the effect of the Occupy movement on 9/11 Truth. There was another one that was thrown in there, was there?
Yeah, the
9/11 CC, 9/11 CC thing.
Yeah.
11th anniversary opportunity and current status of the 9/11 Truth movement. We really don't have time to deal with all this stuff tonight. We talked last time about the Occupy movement, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, my feeling is just, does anybody have any other information about it? That's all. I'm just listening here.
About the Occupy movement or about the effect of the Occupy movement on the 9/11 Truth movement?
Occupy, slant, 9/11. I talked to Manny Badillo, got some information. Does anybody on this conference call have any other connections or sense or perceptions? 30 seconds. That's all we need. Okay.
Guess not. Regarding the 911 CC, the 911 CC is in crisis right now. There has been
a real issue internally. I noticed somebody earlier talked about Mike Gravel's 9/11cc or 9/11cc initiative, but in fact, there's been a sort of parting of the ways, and I'm not in a position to really speak about that right now because there's a whole lot of legal stuff that's going on right now. I do hope next month to be able to give you all a lot of clarification. Those of you who are donors to the 9/11cc will have already received much of the inside information, and we're still not in a position to make that public, but we very soon will be. That's really about all I can say about it right now. Sorry. Wish I could say more. Let's see. Anybody want to speak about the 11th anniversary opportunity of coming up? Any plans about that? Anything on the horizon?
This is Robin. I think Anna addressed it, and I think the spirit of the phone call is open and positive, and what happens, happens.
Okay. And so I think since it's now 8:30, and I do apologize for being late today and delaying things a bit, but that's pretty much the hour and a half that we usually devote to the call, so I'd like to request that we just go ahead and adjourn and pick up where we left off next month, if that's okay with everybody.
Can we talk? Did we talk about the 9/11 trials in Guantanamo, Gitmo?
Oh, that's right. We were going to say a few words.
I don't have that on the agenda, but if you want to take, let's say, 10 minutes to talk about that real quick.
Well, this is Dwayne. I brought this up as something to talk about now, and it's from the standpoint that if they actually get going, what kind of thing might we do in parallel with them to try to provide correct information to the public?
Dwayne, this is Robin. Can you email me or somebody or us about something about this whole thing, as this is all a new subject to me?
I can do that. The reason it came to my mind is there was a thing on public radio a week or so back saying that there was maybe plans to start them in April, which surprised me. I thought maybe they were trying to get them in before the election or something like that. And if they did, then suddenly the media would be paying attention to this subject. That's all.
Well, on a related note, does anybody know about the status of the one trial that was supposed to be a public trial of the 9/11 suspect that is going to be done in New York? Yeah. Do you have that information? Go ahead.
KSM, right? Dwayne, is that the trial that you're talking about, KSM?
Yes, and others.
Okay. Okay. Now okay. I know what you're talking about.
Got it. All right. So the end result of that is that there's some thought that they might be trying to have that happen before the election?
Well, that was what this public radio piece was suggesting, although I've looked at it since then, and I see that there's a big issue right now in that any defense communication between an attorney and a defense person has to be provided to the government. In other words, there's no privacy in communication, so they're doing battle over that issue. It just seems to me it's going to go on and on, probably.
Yeah. That figures. Okay. Anything else on that before we close?
No.
Okay. Then let's go ahead and adjourn, and we'll see you all the last Wednesday of, February, and that will be February the 29th. At the same time, same place. I'll be on time next time. Okay.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Okay, thanks.
Thank
a lot.
Y'all.
Bye.
Night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
I'm late here.